heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. The color girls say. Take a walk on the wild side. 1, 2, 3, 4. Imagine yourself countries. It isn't hard to do that. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion to. Imagine all people living life at peace. The color girls say, take a walk on the wild side. Take a walk on the wild side. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. The color girls say, take a walk on the wild side. 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 Very tricky. Peace.
Got Bart. Now you do. Bart Cop Radio.
Okay, time to make some more mistakes. Today is Tuesday the 30th. Bush, I got up too late. Well, I didn't get up too late. I didn't turn on the TV in time. But apparently Bush gave a long speech, 45 minutes or an hour or something this morning, on why we have to stay in Iraq, why it's a great thing, why it's okay that we've lost 2,100 men and we'll lose another 2,100. Quote, as long as I am your president, we're not going to leave this meat grinder. Perfect. Tonight he's supposed to give another speech. And I don't know what would be nice if he gave a press conference and they were allowed to treat him, what's that phrase, as a hostile witness. When I say, Mr. President, you say this, but then you say that. Can you explain yourself? Freedom is free. And it's like, no, asshole, answer the question that I asked you. That would be nice if we could get Tony Blair. You've seen the footage on Jon Stewart in England when Tony Blair has a, well, not really a press conference. He gets up in front of Parliament or whatever they call it over there, and they say, you lied. You misled us. How dare you? How dare you stand in front of us and give us these bullshit reasons when we know you lied? It's a fact you lied, and you continue to lie. How dare you? That's how they do it in a real country. In America, it's like, oh, Mr. President, can you please tell us about the troops when they're coming home? They come home when it's time. Yes, sir. And they all sleek away and just, oh, yeah, I peppered the president with tough questions. Yeah, right. So we're going to get the big speech tonight. I'm seeing a headline, page 8, the U.S. Whore Today, Wednesday, November 30th. Bush says, Iraq withdrawal would be a terrible mistake. President promises use of unmanned flying drones over the border. Well, that didn't need to be there, but, you know, let's talk politically for a minute. That's what I meant about. Let me get in some trouble here. If we talk politically, Bush's personal war here is a tremendous disaster for him. I don't guess in my lifetime we've ever seen a president have this kind of disaster. And, well, the Bay of Pigs happened when I was 6 or something or 8. I don't know a lot about that. And they say he might have inherited that. JFK probably inherited that from Ike and the crazies at the CIA anyway. But you know, would he have to go back to Pearl Harbor? Is there anyone listening to this that remembers Pearl Harbor? That was 41, and this is 2005, so that's 64 years, and if you had to be an adult then, you know, you got to be 74 or, you know, maybe 80 years old to remember Pearl Harbor, but this has to be the biggest presidential fuck-up any of us have seen collectively. And it's a huge disaster for Bush. It's a huge disaster for the Republicans. And it's a huge disaster for America. It's just a huge disaster all the way around. It's much less a disaster for the Democrats. Because, yeah, they have got tricked. They have got cowed into doing this. But I don't know if, besides Lieberman, let me think. Besides Lieberman, was there any Democrat that was just eager to go to war? I think Lieberman's the only one I know of. But... and you know I'm mostly kidding when I say this, but can the Democrats win without old Bart? We've seen what they did when they rejected my ideas in 2000 and 2002 and 2004. Are they going to fuck up the same way, exact way in 2006? Are they going to stand there all mealy-mouthed and quiet when the Bush administration thinks of some horseshit charge to throw at them? And they say, John Kerry issues the order. I don't want anybody saying anything about President Bush while we've got the nation's attention, while we've got cameras and microphones pointed at us in New York or Boston. I don't want to see any bad news about the president. Hey, asshole, great strategy. President Kerry, way to go. Way to handle that. Excellently done, Mr. President. Jesus Christ. Just because your bitch own ketchup. Ka-ching, nigga, ka-ching. That doesn't do any of us any good, John. Gore couldn't do it. Gore refused to use the big hammer, so he lost. In 2002, you had people like Max Cleland. How are you going to say something bad about Max Cleland? But when Saxby Chambliss, who that's got to be the gayest name in the history of politics, but when Saxby Chambliss morphed him into Osama, he took it. He didn't fight back. Oh, how in the world did you do that, Max? How in the fuck did you do that? You let them do that to you, Max. Were you short of money? I don't think so. I think you could get on, you could have gone on Larry King, you could have gone on Fox, you could have gone anywhere and say, how dare you? If I was Max Cleland, I would have taken my shirt off and said, look at this. This is what I did for my country. I did all I could for my country. And now you've turned me into Osama, you son of a bitch. Max Cleland could have challenged him to a fist fight. And what's Saxby Chambliss going to do? Show up and kick his ass with no legs and one arm? You know, that would have created such an intense media fireball that the whole nation would have turned their attention to Georgia. And they said, what the hell? How did this guy with no arms or with one arm and both legs lost to Vietnam? How did he become Osama? Can you explain yourself, Mr. Chambliss? And he'd be standing there, he'd have nothing to say. How are you going to defend something like that? But because Max Cleland refused to call him on it, they chose not to use a big hammer. And then the same thing with Kerry in 04. Kerry could have made that entire Boston thing about, in 3 weeks, George Bush is going to go to New York and he's going to preen around like the cock of the walk and act like a big war hero when we all know he promised to get Osama. And then when it came time to do it, he said, screw it, I'd rather steal Saddam's oil. So listen to me, New York. When George Bush comes here in 3 weeks, I want you to say, where's Osama? Where's Osama? Where's Osama? If Kerry had got that chant going in Boston, then all the networks, you know what whores they are, the networks would have said, oh, now here we are in New York 3 years later. Will the where's Osama chant be coming from this audience? Not likely. But listen to these speakers. You know, at the Republican convention, they'll have Ted Kennedy and his other people in the booth because all the big Republicans are down behind the podium. So they would have had Democrats all over the place. And if every time they said, good evening, Senator, how are you tonight? Kennedy was to say, where's Osama? Where's Osama? They could have turned that into a thing. They could have won that race, but they just fucking chose not to, and it pisses me off. So I'm asking you again, can the Democrats win without old Bart in 2006? They might. They might not. I mean, we're going to find out. For them to win in 2006, A, they've got to give Diebold a look, which as far as I know, they haven't done not one goddamn bit. Now and then you see a headline. I don't know. In California, they decided not to use Diebold, but then Arnie said, no, let's do it because I love Diebold or something. I don't know. It's hard to keep up with 50 races when you're an Okie with an IQ of 64. But first they got to understand the Diebold problem and fix that. And then they got to fight back. Clinton showed you how to do it. Why the hell can't you buy the War Room? The video tape DVD came out in 92, 93. And watch the son of a bitch. All you got to do is watch that war room tape and see. They leveled this charge against Clinton. 30 minutes later, the Clinton team fired back a shot. No, we didn't do that. You did. You're the ones that built it up. All we did was say we need to keep an eye on it. Now you're trying to blame us. Excuse me. You're the son of a bitch with a gas can and the matches in your hand. Don't you dare say I started this fire. Blow me. You're a lying whore. Now admit it. And all of a sudden, every camera and microphone in the world goes to the Republicans and say, what do you got to say about that? And they can't say anything about it because the return volley is true. The first charge is always false. When the Democrats fight back, they could fight back with the truth, but they choose not to. What the hell is wrong with the Democrats? How do they lay down again and again and again? Can the Democrats win in 2006 and 2008 without old Bart? I would be surprised. Oh, hell, if you want to disassociate yourself from me, read the back issues. There are either hundreds or thousands of examples and ideas in these back issues. You know, these same things came up, or will continue to come up. Abortion, every election. Gun control, every election. Gay rights, every election. And it would be so easy to stand there and say the Republicans want to make the entire election about gay rights and whatever else. But no, we'd like to talk to you about the war. You probably know someone's been killed or hurt in that war. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the job that you don't have anymore. Let's talk about you making $30,000 an hour where you used to make $60,000. Let's talk about the real things that touch real people. But no, all they want to talk about is, last night, I caught a little bit of Bill O'Reilly. The son of a bitch, we got a war going on, we got the economy crashing, the whole world hates us, we got terrorism with a new foothold in 60 or 80 countries. What did Bill O'Reilly talk about? He said in D.C., he wouldn't name the guy. He said somebody, an unknown person, Bill O'Reilly said, some unknown person in D.C. labeled some tree. I don't know that there's a big tree in D.C. like there is at the Rockefeller Center, but he said the official tree. Well, yeah, I guess, there's one in front of the White House, right? Okay. He said that tree was called the holiday tree by an unknown person. And Denny Hester stood up and said, no, goddammit, that's a Christmas tree. And we stand for Christmas. He goes on, he said, and then in Boston, an unknown person, a person whose name we don't know, a hidden silent person, named the tree in Boston a holiday tree. And the Boston mayor stood up and said, no, goddammit, that is a Christmas tree. And O'Reilly went on and on and on. Yesterday in the car, I heard Glenn Beck talk about this, and Laura Ingraham, both. And they were going on and on. They were asking people to write in or call in saying, oh, we can't even use the word holiday because that's an extension of holy day, so we can't even call it a holiday tree. And they go, oh, that's so cool. Oh, the Democrats, they just be killing themselves. It's just so awful. And so we got talk radio saturated now with this fake issue of whether it's a Christmas tree or a holiday tree. Meanwhile, we got the war going on. We got Bush going crazy. Cheney's approval at 19%. And the Democrats can't come up with a fucking issue because they're not listening to old Bart. What's wrong with these people? Why do they want to lose again and again? What is it about being a Democrat that causes suicidal tendencies? Why do they want to lose so badly? You know, they do these little town meetings. $100, you know, let's go to Oklahoma City and meet, not to pick on them, but Wesley Clark. So 300 people show up, $100 a piece. Some of them gave extra, so Clark leaves town with $10,000. If Clark is going to suicide himself, which I don't think he's going to do, him and Hillary are the two that I think are not going to. And like I say, sorry I used him as the example, but if a candidate shows up and asks you for his money, why don't you just ask him, are you going to fight? Are you going to lay down like Gore? Are you going to lay down like Max Cleland? Are you going to lay down like John Kerry? Are you going to lay down like all of them? Are you going to fight back like Clinton did? Read BartCop.com. There's some goddamn ideas on there that you could use. You can't come up with a political question that will stump me. I'm old. I've got a decent memory. You can't ask me a political question that I have to say, well, gee, I'd rather not answer that because it's too awful. I can't. I have no answer for you there. We can answer anything because we got the truth on our side. If only we could convince the Democrats of that. If we could get the Democrats to act like men, and this is not a sex issue, I'm saying, would they stand up and act like they're in charge once in their life? But no, they refuse to do it. And if we lose 2006, I mean, I can't run for president, but, you know, at some point, could we try my way just one time? And it doesn't have to be my way. Can we just get any? Try Howard Dean's way. Let Howard Dean be a big behind-the-scenes idea guy, and you can't let him be on the team because they're going to play that stupid scream from Iowa 100,000 goddamn times. You know, that was the biggest the biggest story of the entire 2004 election. It wasn't that Bush was AWOL. It wasn't that Bush lied us into war. It wasn't that Bush gave $11 trillion to the super rich and fucked the economy all to hell. It wasn't that Bush soured America's reputation around the world and were hated by everybody. And it wasn't that Al-Qaeda used to be a hand job group in a cave in Afghanistan. And now they're in, what, 70 countries? And we got bombings in Indonesia and Spain and Paris and London and, oh, but not in America, because Bush or Cheney gave the order, don't hit America. Jesus Christ. Are we ever going to fight back? What's it going to take to get a Democrat to fight back? If you know of a political problem that the Democrats don't know how to figure out, write to old Bart. Call the Bart phone. I've got an answer for you. I really do. And one of the big ways to answer these questions is stick with the big picture. When they ask you about troop levels or the, you know, don't get into the minutia. That's what they want. That's all they can do is change the subject. When we say we're losing, you know, we're down 2,110 men. How many more thousands of men do you want on the Iraq Memorial Wall in D.C. in the year 2020? How many more men do we want to die? And for what reason are they? That's what Cindy Sheehan wanted to talk about. Mr. President, what is this noble cause that all these men are dying for? And he can't answer. You don't have a question that I can't answer. And if the Democrats had that idea, if they had that goddamn thought in their heads, they could win elections. It would be like candy from a baby. It would be a no-brainer. It would be a wipeout from the beginning. But no, the Democrats are too afraid. And if they're too afraid, why don't they get the fuck out of the way and let someone that's not afraid take their place?
Don't trust them big nostrils over yonder. They suck up so much air, it'll make you wonder. Don't trust them new niggas with their spotty little nigger figure. Don't trust them new niggas over there.
I think the N-word is okay as long as they say it.
You know me, never one to attack religion. I'm looking at an article in the U.S. Whore today written by a Franklin Graham. And I'm guessing that is the Franklin Graham who is the son of Billy Graham, who, all things considered, is one of the saner religious people of our times. Billy Graham is not Jerry Falwell. He's not Pat Robertson. He's not that Dobson whore. He's not a whole lot of whores. He may, to some degree, I don't know. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Billy Graham. But his kid is crazy if Franklin Graham is his son. Big headline, one time to lower the wall. Sometimes separation of church and state can hinder relief efforts. Katrina was one such instance. Now he's about to tell a bunch of lies. We're only going to get into the first two paragraphs. In September, while surveying a relief team's work in the Gulf Coast, I had the opportunity to visit Gretna, Louisiana, a suburb of New Orleans. Spoke with Gretna's mayor, Ronnie Harris, who told me I have seen church vans from across the United States, and I have seen ministries doing everything they can to help. Church workers were the first volunteers on the ground. It is churches that have made the difference in the hurricane recovery of Katrina. Now, a little sidebar here. When Randy Rose did her debate with that crazy woman on C-SPAN, oh, it was bloody. Did I mention that? Oh, the carnage. It looked like hungry grizzlies gone wild. But anyway, she said the Scientologists were the first people in New Orleans after the hurricane. So if we're going to praise the religious community, we got to praise the Scientologists, and that's Tom Cruise and John Travolta, and I don't know enough about Scientology to make fun of it because it's a secret religion. It's like the Skull and Bones. You're not supposed to ask. You just shut up and do what they tell you. But okay, let's get on to this further whoredom. While state and local governments are working shoulder to shoulder with local churches to rebuild in the aftermath of Katrina, the federal government keeps churches at arm's length for fear of violating the so-called law or code regarding the separation of church and state. There's been much talk about the faith-based partnerships, but in reality, the federal government often appears scared to death of the church. Franklin Graham, you are a whore, you are a lying whore, and you're a liar. You're a liar and a whore. It makes you a lying whore. How dare you try to tell us that George Bush is afraid of religion? How dare you say that? You are a liar. I have more credibility than you, Franklin Graham, because you are a whore who's telling a lie. How dare you suggest it, Bush? What does that mean, keep an arm's length? How in the fuck are you going to figure out what that means? I mean, I know what the expression means, but to suggest that Bush has kept an arm's length from religion? No, he's done exactly the opposite. He's taken the billions and billions that went to sane places like whatever the Red Cross and, you know, hell, during Katrina, remember they had signs up to help the Katrina people, give your money to Pat Robertson. That's what he calls arm's length between federal government and the churches. Franklin Graham, you're a liar. Stop doing that. If you was here, I might slap you myself. Sometimes I talk about these little things, I get a little worked up, and I would just think you just look at me right in the face. Here you are, a man of God. Here you are, a man of God. You dedicate your life, allegedly, to the truth and honesty and praising the Lord, and then you stand there and fucking lie to me like a crack whore looking for a fix. How dare you? Franklin Graham, you are a whore. Oh, and he went on, this is a pretty long article, it's about a half a page, but I can't get past the first two paragraphs. If he's going to hand job me that much in the first two paragraphs, what? He's going to save the honesty stuff for last? No. He's a crazy man. He's got as much integrity as Michael Medved or the Vulgar Pig Boy or O'Reilly or Hannity or any one of them. Fucking Michael Savage here. That's all this Franklin Graham is good for. He's an idiot. He's a liar. He's a whore. He's going to stand there and lie to your face and tell us that Bush is paralyzed when it comes to religion, that he's got to stay away. Oh, we got to worry about, oh, there's been much talk about, but in reality, the federal government often appears scared to death of the church. Yeah. Hey, Bush is the federal government. Bush and DeLay, they are the federal government. And for you to suggest they're scared of the church, Franklin Graham, thy name is whore. I don't care who your daddy is.
I heard there is no Christmas in the silly Middle East. No trees, no snow, no Santa Claus. They have different religious beliefs. They believe in Muhammad and not in our holiday. And so every December I go to the Middle East and stay. Hey there, Mr. Muslim. Merry fucking Christmas. Put down that book, the Koran, and here's some holiday wishes. In case you haven't noticed, it's Jesus' birthday. So get off your heathen Muslim ass and fucking celebrate. There is no holiday season in India, I've heard. They don't hang up their stockings, and that is just absurd. They never read a Christmas story, they don't know what Rudolph is about. And that is why in December I'll go to India and shout. Hey there, Mr. Hinduist, Merry fucking Christmas. Drink eggnog and eat some beef and pass it to the masses. In case you haven't noticed, it's Jesus' birthday. So get off your heathen Hindu ass and fucking celebrate. Now I heard that in Japan, everyone just lives in sin. They pray to several gods and put needles in their skin. On December 25th, all they do is eat a cake. And that is why I go to Japan and walk around and pray. Hey there, Mr. Shintoist! Merry fucking Christmas! God is gonna kick your ass, you infidelic pagan scum! In case you haven't noticed, there's festive things to do, so let's all rejoice for Jesus! Merry fucking Christmas to you! On Christmas Day, I travel around the world and say, now it's Christmas bonus and all you atheists too! Merry fucking Christmas!
Bart Cop Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Hat.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.